Yes. So I just want him to tell us a little bit more about that before I get into some questions, because this will be very interesting, because it was a tragic event in their history. Kia ora, Larry. Nice to have you with us on Radio Wātea this evening.
Kia ora. Tēnā koe.
Well, I mean, what a fantastic, it seems to me, event to honour and recognise something that happened in your history and what happened to your tūpuna sometime. Well, it was already, 150 years ago. Let's go. 150 years ago. And so I was just reading a little bit about it. So can you tell our listeners exactly what the tragic event was? Because it wasn't all that long ago. I mean, 150 years is still in, would have still been in the memory of your grandparents and, so it's not a long time ago that this tragic event did occur.
Yeah, that's true. I think the earliest of my grandparents would have would have remembered. In fact, on Saturday, one of my mokopuna carried a whakahu, a photo of my great grandmother, who actually lived at Mahuinui. So in the late 1820s, Ngāti Whikitanga, our hapū, came down with Te Raupuraha and Te Rangi Haiata and others who moved from Kawhia down to the Kapiti Coast, Porowhenua, Porirua, and Whanganui Ātara. According to our stories, Waitohi, Te Raupuraha's sister, allocated land to the various hapū that came down with them after they had made the land available. And our hapū, along with two or three other hapū, were allocated land at a place called Mahuinui, which is, for those of you who know Hora Whenua, it's on the north western side of Lake, we call it Waiwiri, Lake Tāwhārai Tonga. And that's where our two lived. They were there in 1830. They were there in 1840. And our direct tūpuna, Te Paia, who was the rangatira of Hikitanga at that point in time, actually signed the treaty on the highest point of Mahuinui. And, ever-evolving situation in those early colonial years and changing fortunes. And anyway, in 1873, March 1873, in a decision that the tribunal has, or researchers for the tribunal have labelled unfathomable, the tribunal took the land and shifted the boundary south, and as a result of that, technically we had lost our land, but we stayed on, our tūpuna stayed living there until the 13th of December, 13th of December 1873, which was a Saturday, and they were attacked by a neighbouring iwi and burnt out as the government stood by and allowed it to happen. In fact, they were crown armed. And as a result of that, there were four hapū living at Mahuinui. Pare Kohatu, which was, Pare Kohatu is Te Raupuraha's mum, and so that was his strong connection to Raukawa. And that hapū doesn't exist or operate as a hapū down here at the moment. And Ngāti Kāhoro is another hapū that doesn't operate or function as a hapū down here at the moment. Ngāti Hikitanga is our hapū, and we didn't function as a hapū effectively until the early 2000s. And on the 25th of September 2010, we were invited by the Runanga to become a member of the Runanga Ōrākawa after lying dormant for something like 130 years. And the other hapū was some elements of Ngāti Pare, Raukawa, which is, you know, they have Ngā Toko Waru Marae at the moment, but there was an element of Ngāti Pare Raukawa living at Mahuinui as well, under the leadership of Wātini Te Waiwai. So, our tūpuna seem to have just disappeared into, they moved in with in-laws or, but hikitanga ceased to function as a hapū. Although if you go to some of the urupa, like the Ngā Toko Waru, Raumatangi, the Parirokawa urupa, you'll see lots of signs of hikitanga. You know, there will be tūpāpaku who have been connected to hikitanga on their headstones. So we've presented our case to the tribunal. We did that about 3 years ago, and you know that will take its course. I had thought that we might have had the report from the tribunal reasonably soon, but it looks like it's another 2 or 3 years away yet, because the whole claim process was impacted by COVID.
Yes.
So it occurred to us that it was 150 years since that event took place, and that it was appropriate that we mark it, as we hadn't marked the anniversary in any way previously. Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. And can I just ask, so with your claim, has that found favour with the other and support from those other hapū around you, or who are also now coming back in for the first time, and the others who have been there for some time? Are you getting that support from them for your claim?
Oh, yes. Yesterday, on Saturday, the support of the hapū for our kaupapa, for particularly the, you know, Tanga is a granddaughter of Huia, you know, and Ngāti Huia is a significant collection of hapū, of Raukawa, and really, really good support from all of our neighbouring hapū in the area.
Right, right. I'm just trying to figure out in my head where Mahoinui is. Well, that lake. Is that the lake that's come into prominence recently because of the state of it, or is that another lake around there?
No, that's Horowhenua, and that's to
the
north.
Right.
We are. Lake, if you, Lake Waipapaitonga is. And there's quite a beautiful reserve around it, and while I wouldn't say that the water is in a great state, it's in a better state than Horowhenua. And the interesting thing is that to the west of Lake Papuaitonga was farmland 3 or 4 years ago, and Dock acquired it and has blocked the drains and is turning it into a wetland, and that is working very, very successfully. The regrowth of native plants and the expansion of the water is looking fantastic, and Mahuinui looks out over Lake Papuaitonga and that new wetland.
Yes, well, what I find very interesting is that because there were a number of hapū that hadn't been, I suppose you could say, active for over 100 years, to make the decision to how would you say, to come back again, or make a comeback, if I can put it like that, to make a comeback again, that actually takes some, that must take some doing. It wouldn't be, you know, would it, to have to find out where your whanaunga are and then, you know, start to the rebuilding process? That must have taken a long while and will still be continuing.
Yes, yeah, I think that we have a reasonably good handle on who the members and potential members of Ngāti Hiki Tanga are. You know, it's essentially two big families, obviously. Te Paia had three children, Rangi Ueda, Te Paia, or Rangi Ueda Rākera, and then she became Rangi Ueda Tihana. Was the eldest, and she, to my knowledge, she only had one child, and it was Sminda Brown, and that's who our whānau is descended from. She and David Brown ended up farming the south end of Kapiti Island in the 1850s. the second child was Karapiti, and he is the tupuna of the Pereti whānau. And
which whānau?
Perewiti.
Oh yes, yeah.
Mm. And then the third child was Nerihana Te Paia, who didn't have any issue.
Goodness.
It's interesting because there's just two big families, really. And I think the Perewiti whānau is bigger than ours because at the next generation, they had about eight and we only had one. it took us a while to catch up.
Mm. Well, the Perewiti whānau were our neighbours in Fielding for many years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah. So there you see how it worked.
Yes,
their kāinga tūturu, their papa kāinga, is actually in Horowhenua down by Lake Papuatonga, but they actually have a strong connection now with Ngāti Kaufata and Fielding and.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's very interesting. And so, and I see that you had a lot of young people there too. So, you know, a good mixture of rangatahi too. And
Yes. I think the rain obviously put off a few of those who had indicated they were coming. But, you know, there was still a strong contingent. And there was a really nice way to, particularly when we got up on top of Mahui Nui and looking out over the wetlands was grateful for the support of Ngāti Huia Hapū,
Well, you would have had a busy year then, Larry, and it's great to see that, you know, it's culminated, I guess, with the hikoi over the weekend. But, you know, you would have, if you don't mind me asking, you would have seen, well, obviously we've got a new government now and some of their utterances are causing a little bit of alarm. So do you think we're in for an interesting year next year? Could be an interesting term, actually, 3 years, but how do you see the next 12 months rolling out?
I think there's going to be some interesting conversations. I'm reasonably confident that for the organisation I work for, it'll be head down and carry on working for Te Reo.
Yes.
We're a Reo agency, so I don't, think we're not going to be impacted with the branding issues that others might be, I don't think. Mm. And, we will just have to be really sharp and make sure that we have strong evidence base for, the work we're doing. And we're in that sort of position. We've been doing a lot of work around improving our data capture and analysis capability.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, Larry, that data is king, isn't it? If you can just say, well, here's the evidence, here's the justification, and you've got the data to prove it, then I think that's mostly what governments tend to look for. But I also believe that particularly for providers such as yourself or the services that you provide and for the services that I'm involved with, we certainly give value for money. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've got a vested interest, haven't we, really, in making sure that our services are targeted and that they're successful, and that we can shift the dial in a whole range of areas.
Yeah, the interesting thing for us is we have designed a model which we call CORPA, which is a high level model for. The status of measuring the status of the ill, and we measure it by, societal attitudes and behaviours towards the ill. That's, and what we know is the biggest impediment to language revitalisation are societal attitudes. And so that's why we've been tracking societal attitudes for 5 years. Now we've enhanced our capability in terms of fusing our segmentation of the population on those attitudes, on an attitudes basis, with the data that we can get from the audience data from Nielsen's and from online data. And that has given us the capability at an impact score for investments we make. And it's going to be interesting as we look to refine that and determine what each investment decision, the impact of each investment.
Yeah, well, it certainly, I think, as I said, I think if we can show the difference that we're making and with some of the data that I hear you're collecting and providing, can certainly show the difference that you're making. Well, look, Larry, thank you very much for talking with Radio Wātea this evening. It's been great to hear about your hikoi and to know that it's going to be, I think you were saying, an annual event.